that entire concept that's presented here for us, the entire scripture and not just the portion that you see here. 1 Timothy 4:12, the theme discourse, Brother Richard Sirasi from New Haven, Connecticut. Brother Richard.
Thank you. My dear brethren, permit me for just a few seconds to look at you. It's such a pleasure to look at the family of God. And Anime and I are very happy to be associated with you as members of God's family, and we bring the Christian love and greetings of your brethren in New Haven. This is a special privilege to share our theme text with you, taken from 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. This text is very essential to the growth and spiritual well-being of God's children, especially at this end of the age. We need to redefine what our theme text means to us as examples of the believers. By God's grace, we will do this. We also need to ask ourselves, am I displaying the example of our Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul, young Timothy, and other biblical believers exhibited during their lifetime? If we answer yes, then we are glorifying God. John 15:8, King James. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I will use the New International Version, unless otherwise stated, and number references are to Strong's Concordance. We are grateful to the Convention Committee for choosing this text as a theme for our convention. This word theme is from the Greek and means what is laid down. Webster defines it as a recurring, unifying subject or idea. This is what we would expect at a Bible student convention, building upon a foundation already laid. 1 Corinthians 3:11 to 13. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man build on this foundation using gold, silver, and costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. The context of Paul's letter to Timothy, his beloved son in the faith, was one of counsel and instruction. He also warned him about false teachers and deserters of the faith. The object of his admonition was to promote love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith in God's word. 1 Timothy 1:1-6. Paul exhorts Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Timothy was about 30 years of age or younger. At that time, manhood began at 30. Some may have considered Timothy a novice, not capable of responsibility or leadership. But Paul knew that Timothy was a third generation of believers and of his gift of God. 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:5. We are thankful for the example of young Timothy. Because of his faithfulness, Paul wrote two letters to him, and it is our privilege to benefit from those letters. Being raised in the truth, my first cousins, Steve, Betty, and I identified with Paul's counsel to Timothy and received much help and encouragement from our older brethren. We were baptized in Brooklyn, New York on August 31st, 1941 by our dear brother Martin Mitchell, along with 25 other brethren. Steve was 13, Betty and I turned 13 before the year ended. 59 years later, as I look into the audience, I see many young people, which delights my heart. We, your older brethren, have a message for you. We love you very much and consider you very precious and important. We appreciate your youth and vigor, and we are confident that you too, like young Timothy, can and do provide an example of the believers. The word believers is 4103. It means trustworthy, to believe. Also translated faithful, sure, true. It is taken from a prime verb, to convince, to assent, or rely. Inward certainty, also translated have confidence, agree, assure, obey, trust, faith, and fidelity. The word example appears 8 times in the New Testament. Jesus said in John 13:15 from King James, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Jesus, in washing his disciples' feet, established a principle that we should follow. That principle is found in Matthew 11:29, where Jesus said, Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus was teachable and humble under the mighty hand of God and was exalted in due time. 1 Peter 5:6. The word example in John 13:15 is number 5262, an exhibit for imitation and warning. It is taken from 5263, to exhibit under the eye, that is, to exemplify. We read in Psalm 16:8 from King James, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. This psalm was prophetic of our Lord Jesus. The exhibition of his life and conduct is the greatest example of a believer to the believers. Jesus is the believer. His example was his heavenly Father, who was always before him. Verse 2 of Psalm 16. I said to the Lord, You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Verse 5. Lord, you have assigned my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. Verse 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Be thou an example of the believers in word. Word is 3056 and means the expression of thought. And the Greek word is logos. We think of Jesus in his pre-human existence as God's logos or mouthpiece. He was also God's logos while on earth. For he said in John 12:49, "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it." What a profound impression his words made in us who are hungering and thirsting for truth. Matthew 5:6. We read in 1 John 4:17 from King James, "As he is, so are we in this world." God desires to see Jesus in us. He is the pattern for our development as new creatures. As he was, we are striving to become. Jesus emphasized the importance of words in Matthew 12th chapter, verses 34 to 37. "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings forth evil things out of the evil stored up in him. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus is telling us that words are the index of the heart. The heart is figurative and refers to the thoughts of the mind. Proverbs 4:22-23. "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. If we store up good things in our hearts, our words and actions will be good." Thoughts of the mind and heart are bound to find expression in words. If we desire to be examples of the believers in word, we must think on the principles of truth and righteousness. Reverence for God in our heart will be manifested in words of respect for his people and for the world in general. The three gates of goal may serve as a sifter of our thoughts. Is it kind? Is it true? Is it needful? If the words we intended to speak can pass this simple test, tell it out, because it will be a blessing to the hearer. Be thou an example of the believers in conversation. Conversation isn't the best translation in our modern day. The diglot reads, "in conduct," NIV, "in life." The word conversation is confined to speech and refers to the spoken word. In the 17th century, when the King James Version came into existence, conversation meant a person's life, conduct, behavior, or relationship with others, not only in word, but also in deed. It is derived from the Latin word conversare, which means to move about, to go to and fro among people. In 1 Peter 3:1-2 from King James, Peter counsels wives to be in subjection to your husbands, that if they obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won over by the conversation of the wives, while they beheld your chaste conversation with fear. This sounds paradoxical, But just listen to William Barclay's translation of this text. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Your aim must be that any of them who refuse to believe will be won over by the conduct of their wives without a word being spoken when they see how reverent and pure your conduct is. I would like to share with you a favorite quotation which I committed to memory many years ago. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show the way. The most powerful example we may give to our brethren and the world is the character example. Be thou an example of the believers in charity. A better translation is love. Charity is number 26, agape, and means affection, benevolence, also translated dear and love. It is taken from number 25, agapeo. Vine states that agape and agapeo correspond with each other. Both words are used in the New Testament to describe the attitude of God toward his Son, believers, and the world of mankind. John 17:26 from the Diaglot. I made known and will make known to them thy name, so that the love which thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Also John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will show myself to him. The attitude of God toward the human race is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now these words convey God's will for his children concerning their attitude one toward another. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The believer's attitude toward all men is found in 1 Thessalonians 3:12 from Barclay. It is our prayer that the Lord may make your love for each other and for all men to grow until it overflows, just as our love does for you. So we see that love is made known by the action it displays. God's love was shown in the gift of his only Son, 1 John 4:9-11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Jesus, by his example, exhibited God's perfect love among men, Ephesians 3:18-19. I pray that in fellowship with all God's consecrated people, you may have strength to grasp how broad and long and high and deep Christ's love is, and to know that love of his, which is greater than we can ever understand. For then your life will be filled with all God's fullness. In our expression of Christian love, we should keep in mind love's primary examples, our Heavenly Father and His dear Son. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 from Barclay. So then, you must try to be like God, for you are His children, and He loves you. Your life must be lived in love, and you must have as its pattern the life of Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us as a sacrifice and offering acceptable to God. Paul's concept of love's example is found in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8 from Barclay's translation. Love is patient with people. Love is kind. There is no envy in love. There are no proud claims. There is no conceit. Love never does the graceless thing, never insists on its own rights, never irritably loses its temper, never nurses its wrath to keep it warm. Love finds nothing to be glad about when someone goes wrong, but is glad when truth is glad. Love can't stand any kind of treatment. Love's first instinct is to believe in people. Love never regards anyone or anything as hopeless. Nothing can happen that can break love's spirit. Love lasts forever. Be thou an example of the believers in spirit. This word is not found in the original text, but it does fit into the concept of what a true believer should be. Spirit is 41:51, pneuma, a current of air, a breath or breeze. These definitions imply an invisible force or spirit, a vital principle, a mental disposition. That's why the word pneuma is used for God's Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus at Jordan. God's spirit or influence is powerful, but invisible. It was this power that energized Jesus in doing His Father's will. He emptied Himself of His perfect human will as He received God's Spirit without measure. John 3, verse 34. The example that Jesus set for us was very encouraging. In Luke 4, 1 and 2 we read, Jesus, full with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. We too should be led by God's Spirit. We are told in James 1:18 that we were begotten by the word of truth. God's word should be our guiding light. Our brethren provide good examples of being led by the Spirit. Some have curtailed their advocation so that they may spend more time in direct service to God, which is their vocation. Ephesians 4:1. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Vocation means an invitation, also translated calling, as I just read in the NIV. Some of our brethren are led into foreign lands to build up brethren of like precious faith. Others are led to devote full time in the harvest work, printing Bible helps for the brethren and witnessing to the world. Some are led to work within the ecclesia, assisting in class activities and witnessing, visiting afflicted brethren, sending out consolation booklets to the families of the deceased. Others are led to pray for those in need of grace and strength. Jesus was a skilled carpenter, which was a legitimate and honorable avocation. But during his ministry, he found no time to use his skills in earning a living or having a home he could call his own. In Luke 9:58, Jesus pathetically exclaimed, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Be thou an example of the believers in faith. Faith is indispensable in the lives of God's children. The Apostle Paul used the word faith 32 times in Hebrews 11. He said in verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Faith is number 4102, persuasion, conviction, by extension, reliance upon the truth of God's word, also translated belief and fidelity. Faith is from the same prime verb that believers is taken from, 3982, to convince, to rely by inward certainty. Paul defined faith in Hebrews 11, 1 from Phillips. "Now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for, being certain of things we cannot see." He lists 16 examples of believers. This was a short list of the many Old Testament examples of faith which help us in our days of consecration. We will consider Noah's example of faith because Jesus parallels Noah's day with our day, which falls within his second advent. Luke 17:26-27. Genesis 6 describes the dreadful conditions in Noah's day. The materialized angels married the daughters of men, producing a hybrid race, corrupting mankind. Every imagination of the heart was evil all the time. God was grieved that he made man on earth and decided to destroy him from the earth. Verse 9, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of God." Very little is written about Noah's character. In Genesis 6:9, we read, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God." Noah's first test of faith came as God revealed to him his plan of destruction. He was asked to build an ark, which would take many years to complete. Referring to man in verse 3, God said, "His days will be 120 years. Noah took God at his word. He didn't say rain was unheard of, and the nearest thing to rain was the dew appearing each morning. He didn't need scientific evidence to back up God's word. If he did, what he displayed was not faith. God said so." That was enough for Noah. And it should be enough for us as we study God's word and promises. Noah perceived as real fact what was not revealed to his senses. In his mind's eye, he saw the torrential rain flooding the earth as it loosened the moorings of the ark, causing it to float. God's saving power was all he could see as he faithfully and strenuously completed the ark, his ark of survival. Faith is composed of two things. First, it is an intellectual belief and an appreciation of God's word, and a heart reliance based upon that appreciation. Belief is a first step in the right direction. But James tells us in chapter 2, verse 19, that belief is not enough. He said, "You believe in one God. Good. Even the demons believe and shudder." In the context of this verse, he said, our faith must be activated by works. James 2:14-17. "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith, but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Paul further illustrates this concept with Abraham's faith in offering his son Isaac as a burnt offering to God because God asked him to. He didn't say, but Isaac is my promised seed. As he raised the knife of sacrifice, in his mind's eye, he saw Isaac raised from the dead. Hebrews 11:17-19. How happy he was to hear the voice of the angel. "Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld him from me. Your only son." Genesis 22:1-13. He looked and he saw a ram entwined in a thicket, which he offered in Isaac's place. Faith is blind except heavenward. It is deaf to doubt and relies on God's integrity and never failing strength. While we often use biblical examples of believers, we also have many examples among our brethren. I am so impressed with the many email messages we receive as our brethren share their trials with us and request our prayers. While they are intent in finding relief, they conclude by saying God's will for them is their desire. Your brethren in New Haven have been blessed with the believer's example of faith. Sister Laura Kelsey, consecrated for over 60 years, faithful in her nursing avocation for over 40 years, but now laid up in a nursing home at age 87. She cannot speak, but she can hear and see. She communicates her faith with her smile and her glistening eyes. The nurses just love her because of her wonderful attitude. We who have known her for so many years appreciate her example of faith. Brother Steve Sarasi is another example of the believer's faith. He has faithfully served this convention and other conventions throughout his lifetime. He and his wife Jackie have been faithful also in serving the ecclesia by helping the brethren and taking them to the doctor, watching their financial problems, and assisting them in every way. I visited Steve often during his last year and was encouraged by his example of faith. I will quote a scripture like, "My grace is sufficient for you," and he would finish it, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This happened numerous times to my delight. We miss thee very much, but we rejoice for his sake that he has finished his course and his example of faith continues with us. Be thou an example of the believer's impurity. Matthew 5:6, 5:8. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The word blessed is 3107 and means supremely blessed, fortunate, and is also translated happy. The pure in heart are blessed because they are chosen by God. These blessings are contingent upon Jesus' statement. Blessed are the pure in heart. The heart represents the center of our being, including mind, will, and emotion. The word pure is 25:13 and means clean, literally or figuratively, also translated clear. This is one of three New Testament words which are translated pure. This word purity in our theme text is number 47. It means cleanliness. That is the quality of cleanliness, also translated purify. It is taken from number 53, clean, meaning innocent, modest, perfect, also translated chaste and pure. It is the same word as number 40, sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, and also translated holy and saint. The word saints appears 59 times and holy 162 times in the New Testament. Both words are taken from the same Greek word which pure is taken from. Number 40, hagios. Hagios describes right living in a most intense form. Such right living is described in John, in 1 John 3:2 and 3 from King James. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man who hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The second word is number 1506, alekrinaya, taken from a word meaning the sun's ray, and from a third word, judged by sunlight, that is, tested as genuine, also translated pure, sincere. Peter used this word in his second epistle, chapter 3, verse 1, from King James, where he said he wrote this letter to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. William Barclay, in his word study, said that its derivation is uncertain, but two pictures have been suggested. It may come from a Greek word which means to shake in a sieve, implying sifted until absolute purity is achieved. It may come from two Greek words, the first meaning sunlight and the second meaning to judge. This conveys the thought of something which can be brought out of the trader's dark shop into the sunlight, which can stand the light of day. Purity takes in every aspect of our Christian lives. All six qualities we have been discussing must be unadulterated and contain the innocence of a child. As Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I love the way Moffat translates Isaiah 52:11. Recall the King James Version states, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." God's word was given to Israel when King Cyrus allowed the people to carry away the articles of the temple seized by Nebuchadnezzar. This was the work of the priests and Levites. Spiritual Israel may benefit from this scripture. Isaiah 52 from 11 from Moffat. He says, "Away, away from here, of things unclean, keep clear. Leave the place, purify yourselves to carry the Eternal's sacred vessels." Jesus said in Matthew 13:11, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you." The priests and Levites had to sanctify and wash themselves afresh before handling the vessels of the Lord. This should be a daily ordeal for us as we study to show ourselves approved unto God. We should feel constrained to keep God's word pure and free from the conceptions of this present evil world. Jude tells us how to do this in Jude 3. "I urge you to contend for the faith that was once entrusted to the saints." In proportion as we keep God's word pure and wholesome, in that same proportion will our spiritual vision be clear and unadulterated. I will conclude with a simple verse of a hymn we sang in Sunday school some 62 years ago. At ease, dear brethren, I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to repeat the verse. "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." My dear brethren, this is my prayer for you and all of God's dear people. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Richard.
Beloved Father in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. We are so thankful for this opportunity of bowing our hearts and heads in your presence to thank thee, Father, for your love, to thank you for the opportunity of knowing thee and your beloved Son. And we pray, Father, that by thy grace we may be good examples of what you have committed to our trust, that all the world may see that we have been with Jesus and have learned of him and are desirous of glorifying thy holy name. Will you now bless us, Father, as we dismiss this morning's service with thy blessing? Will you bless our fellowship together and bless the food which we shall partake of? May it nourish our bodies to do thy will and to serve thee more acceptably. And we pray that thou wilt forgive us for all of our sins and shortcomings. And we pray for thy people in every place. In Jesus' precious name, amen.